everybody. This is Keith Stubbs, comedian, entrepreneur, actor, and failed radio personality, and you're listening to Old Ute Radio.
Episode 133. This is Sasha Bloom, aka Big Dummy. Johnny McKeon, how are you, sir?
You sounded like Santa Claus. That's all I was thinking right off the bat.
I was supposed to stop that, wasn't I?
Maybe. Welcome back to episode 133. I am Johnny McKeon. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnny McKeon, McKeon.
Ho, ho, ho.
Merry Christmas. Like Mayor McChristmas over here. Would you ever play Santa Claus if you were offered the chance?
I hate myself.
Could you do it? Like as being Jewish, is that allowed? Like is that a line you can't cross? Could you play like a Jewish Santa Claus? Like could you...
I don't even know where to go with that. Mazel.
Yeah, it's Halloween. You can't talk about that yet.
Oh, I hate paganism. Do you like Halloween?
Yeah. For some reason, I get a lot of anxiety around Halloween. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like other holidays, like Thanksgiving, it can come and go. Christmas is my favorite. Halloween, I don't know. I always get kind of a little stressed out.
See, I like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think it's because you can eat good food and you get to see your family, like even the family that's not really part of your family, but theoretically they're part of your family.
Yeah, by being there, they're family. Yeah, I understand. You know what it is? You know what it is? Halloween is supposed to be this big night, this big exciting night. You know, Thanksgiving, you're supposed to relax, stay home, watch football. Christmas, you're supposed to sit around a fire, open presents. But Halloween, it's supposed to be this big celebration.
Of death.
Yeah. Of right. death, yeah, and of demons, and darkness, Day of the Dead, all that. I don't know, maybe Mexico's Day of the Dead could be cool. Or maybe it'd be really depressing. I don't know. Then I have to hear about all these people talking about, like, their dead relatives and stuff. Like, just all these stories. Everyone has a story. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
No, I couldn't do it
either. I don't know. Yeah, Halloween's not my favorite.
Yeah, I got traumatized when I was a little boy with Halloween.
Really?
I was like 3 or 4 years old. We're at a Halloween party. Everyone's dressed up. And this big fat woman was dressed as a witch, right? Like the green makeup and the big dumb hat.
Yeah.
And she took her teeth out. And I was like 3 or 4. I immediately started bawling, crying, like flew myself under the bed.
Really?
And I've never liked it since.
Now, when she took her teeth out, she took her fake witch teeth out or actual teeth out?
Dentures. The whole thing.
Ugh.
And I don't remember a whole lot from when I was a little boy, especially as I get older.
Yeah.
But I remember that perfectly. Like, wow. I remember what I wore. I remember being under the bed and, like, my mom trying to get me to get out of the bed. Like, it was a real weak moment for me in life.
Now, you know, I have something similar with Halloween. My dad took me to a haunted house and didn't tell me what it was. And I was like, he didn't tell me at all. So I'm going from room to room. Some guy's whipping out a chainsaw. Like another lady's yelling at me, smacking a hammer against the wall. Like, I'm terrified. I'm little. I'm like 3 or 4, like big enough that my dad could put me on his shoulders. He's holding me. I'm like crying, like, because there's all these scary monsters. I had no clue what it was. All I knew is we were standing in line for 20 minutes. I thought we were going to a movie or something. Next thing you know, I'm being attacked by monsters.
That's horrendous.
Yeah, not really good parenting on my dad's part.
Do you like haunted houses?
Oh, I love them.
See, I hate being scared. I don't like watching movies that are scary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like haunted houses for the theater and the production value. Like, I appreciate the haunted forest for, you know, just the effort that they put into it. Like, I graded on all of that. Like, I don't go in and I don't really necessarily get scared. I mean, I'll get surprise scared.
You grade it?
Yeah, I grade it. Like, I'll think about, like, you know, how long it was, the quality of the performers, the quality of, like, you know, the production value of the set pieces, the props, the overall flow, if it gets repetitive in some spots, like, engineer, like, I think about all that stuff. I'm kind of like a haunted house critic, I guess. Like I guess I'd be like a foodie version of that. I don't know, like, quite. Yeah, an aficionado of haunted establishments, I think, would probably be the best way to explain that. Like, I try to go to the mall.
The mall?
They all have one of at them. The mall? No, I try to go to them all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yuck.
Yeah, I bet you would, like, you'd punch a little kid. I can see you in a heartbeat just punching a little kid. Just like, ah!
Just beating them for trying to scream. Yeah, I could do that.
Well, no, it'd be someone in line with you. You just accidentally hit them.
No, I have no fun. Like, I never do anything fun anymore, and I don't allow myself to be in those situations. And I don't know what it is about me, but...
You just don't want to be bothered. You're like a hermit who has to live outside and in society.
But I do very well with people.
And yeah, you do.
I'm very
yeah.
good with conversations. Yeah. I enjoy being around people. But you're absolutely right. I don't want to be around people.
No, you don't. You don't. Well, you know, it's funny as I don't like being around people either. Like, I don't like talking to people. I don't. I like the idea of being an entertainer because there is a distance between me and the audience. I prefer to talk to people on my terms that way. Like, to me, the idea of that's much more appealing than, you know, having to just deal with people every day. Like, I don't know. I don't have a very large social circle of people who really know me. You're one of the few. You know, I can count on my hand how many people I'm, like, you know, real with, I guess.
No, you're very funny on the phone because I'll call you and I'll be like, hey, what up, Johnny? And you'll be like, hi.
Yeah.
And it takes you like almost 2 minutes to engage into a conversation.
Yeah.
But for a caller or someone picking up a call, it's very weird, like, getting you on the phone because I have to engage you and, like, remind you that you're supposed to talk.
Yeah, it's weird. I have so much on my mind all the time. And it's really hard for me. Like, this is something actually I did want to talk to you about. My life is a total blur right now where, like, I'm dealing with, like, 1,000 things at once. And it's so hard to, like, be present now. Since you started working in media, have you had that difficulty? Do you know what I mean? Like it's just hard for me to enjoy things. Like, cause I want to write well or something. I'll watch a show and then I'll just be sitting there thinking about how the show's done. Like the haunted house thing. Like, I'll sit there and I'll just pick it apart instead of just being scared.
We work in very different sides of media, though.
That is true.
Right? You're always on a computer. You're always writing stuff out. You're always managing people.
Yeah.
I just build sets and carry cable and occasionally run a camera. And if I'm in radio, I'm doing promotional stuff. So it doesn't, I don't have that stress.
Yeah. Right?
Like, there's no decision making in my life. Like, there's one way to home run an audio cable.
Right? Oh, that's awesome.
There's one way the fiber coils. Like, I either do it right or I don't do it right. And I'm at the point in my job where I don't worry. I'm not panicking about my performance because it's always going to be better than most people.
You streamlined it.
Because I'm good at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you do. Yeah. You can lock something down and then just perfect it. Like with me, like I'm having to constantly adapt and grow and get better at what I do. Everything that I do, I'm told I can always do better at. Which is fine, and I understand that, and I'm willing to grow. But at the same time, I'm always sitting there thinking, plotting, trying to figure out my next move. It's really hard for me to relax. Like, I work 7 days a week. I don't even relax.
Yeah, I work 7 days a week, too. The only thing I really focus on is all the shows that I edit, like the Dirt Pod and the Jocularity Show, because there's a very fine line for me. It's like, I don't want to take away from their show.
Yeah.
I don't mind cutting stuff out of our show, like long ums or your lip smacking or
in my dry mouth from your weird ass water, your creek water bottles. Like, it's like dirty mountain water.
No, it's not.
A bear peed in it, I guarantee it.
Or I peed in it. Let's not kid yourself, Johnny.
Yeah, you get mountain man water bottles. It's like full of leaves and twigs. Essential minerals. Yeah, okay. I don't know. It gives me a weird dry mouth, and I start like, and I try so hard to not do it because I know you. I know you're gonna be sitting there at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Sitting there editing, like, fuck it, Johnny.
No, I remember once when we were up at KU and we would do our show live, but then I would turn it into a podcast.
Yeah.
I remember one time you lip smacked this like 32 times in an hour. And I was like, I wanted to fire you.
Yeah, you can't fire the volunteers.
Oh, yes, I can. You just lose their friendship.
Yeah, that's true.
What up, Keith?
Oh, man. Good times. Yeah, like, I'm always conscious of that, of like the fact that you have to go back and edit it. So I'm always like, I better not breathe too much. Or like,
yeah. I hate when people eat on the microphone.
Yeah, that's weird.
There's a lot of podcasters that do that.
Yeah.
There's podcasters that smoke. And so I don't like when I don't mind if people take bong rips. Like, yeah. Ooh.
Uh-oh. Speaking of things you don't mind, someone's phone's blowing up.
Hello?
Hey, man.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? I just got your message there.
Yeah, this is Patrick Ramirez. Can I text you the phone number and you can call in?
Yeah, let's have Pat on.
Yeah, you can text me that.
What was that pause? Did he think about it? Like,
all right, hold on a second.
That was awesome. Did you hear a pause? He's just like, yeah, you should text me.
I don't think any of that picked up on the microphone
either. I could hear it in my ears.
Oh, could you?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I love Patrick Ramirez. I'm sure most of you people do know, but he was old co-host at KU with me after Becca left.
Yeah.
I love the guy. He's fantastic on radio. I don't understand why he's not doing radio professionally. Oh, wait. Yeah, I do. Because you can't get a job in radio anymore.
It's so hard. Jesus. It's so hard.
Do you think there's an advantage of working for a privately owned company that's not national?
Yes. Best advice I ever got from Jeff Mantle over at Channel 4. He does the audio. He told me work for locally owned and operated. He said that's the sweet spot. In my experience working for a locally owned and operated company, I'd have to agree with that so far. I mean, my boss is literally across the street. Like I see him a couple times a month, you know, like the CEO, like Mr. Hansen, uh-huh. Like Mr. Dole Hansen. I see him very often. In fact, he was in the studio just a couple weeks ago, the week before last week for, he's shooting Utah Business. Like they took photos. No, he got a photo with us. With the promo crew, but I think I looked bad. I don't take photos well. Like, it's really hard for me to hold a smile.
How big your head is?
Yeah.
You know how much room I have to leave for that?
Dude, like, my head is huge.
Like, 4K is designed for you.
just
for
to
the
get
compression
my
rate.
The distance of my head. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. But yeah, a locally owned and operated company is great because, you know, like I said, the boss is right. He's there. He can see the tangible results and benefits of his decisions. Like, he can see that. Like when I worked for, you know, Channel 4, we were owned by Nexstar. While they came in maybe three times a year.
Yeah.
You know, three, four times a year. You don't really get to know the feel of a company or understand how it's really run just visiting it every three, four times a year.
No, that's the problem with working with ESPN and Fox. Like, I'm so happy the Utes lost because the Pac-12 can finally come back to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Fox and ESPN take the games when they're doing that well. But it's maddening trying to work with all these people that are out of the country that don't care about you.
Yeah.
But then they do care about you, and it's too big of an operation.
See, that's why, yeah, the Pac-12, man, like when I saw it, like it's so big and so, it just seems so complicated to me. Like, it's so tricky, like with all like the negotiations and the way like they set up the game structures, you know, it seems very... You have a lot of patience, I think.
You don't have a choice.
I have bills. That's what I have. I don't have patience.
Patience? What's that? So Patrick's going to call in 15 minutes.
Perfect. We can keep talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you see so we played a new song that was Imagine Dragons. What was the name of that?
Gold.
Gold. I love it.
You like it?
I love it. Well, I love Imagine Dragons. I got to work with them when they were here back in Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. We did a basketball contest. Take the shot with Imagine Dragons.
And Bunny.
Yeah, Bunny was there.
I'll post a photo of her on our blog. She's
yeah,
my favorite.
Go. Yeah, I love Bunny. And then, yeah, we had this guy, this super patriot guy. He was like Dwight. He's like, I may or may not have special privilege and special access to security clearance. Like,
privilege is what we decided, right?
he was wearing a shirt with an eagle on it. And then the other guy was this really quiet doctor guy who was kind of weird, like a little forceful. He's like, hey, can you get him to sign my scrubs? I'm like, yeah, sure. Scrubs? Yeah, he brought his scrubs. And then...
what are they, hospital musicians?
Yeah. The guy was a doctor. I don't know why you had scrubs.
Scrubs and are so dirty, man.
Scrubs are disgusting.
I used to work at a hospital, and they always leave, like...
My mom always brought them home.
You always see your junk, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to wear scrubs as pajamas. They always show your junk. Doesn't matter the size. Doesn't matter. The t-shirts underwear, show your junk. Like, the t-shirts will show your junk. It doesn't matter. But yeah, he kept pestering me to get him signed, so I gave him to the record guy. He got him signed. He kept coming up to my booth, like, after, like, hey, man, did those get signed? Did those scrubs get signed? Like, I was like, seriously, like, I have the weirdest conversations.
Oh, it sounds like me when I try to get someone to follow me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, did you follow me yet?
Yeah, you're so good at that one-on-one, just that inner person. You really bring, like, the social to social media. Like, you do, like, face-to-face, like, hey, man, follow me, bro.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You really, I mean, that's a big part of it. You know, like, you have to personally reach out. I've realized that with, like, running events and stuff. Like, I have to call people personally just to get them to show up to events.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes a lot of work to get people there. Like, I just had to do pet costume contest yesterday. That's why I didn't get a chance to watch the Ute game. So every year we do a Halloween pet costume contest. You know, we do it at the Gateway Mall. This year, like, the prep work that just went into it was insane. I flyered, I texted, I called, I emailed, you know, social media, like, so much work.
That's your job.
I know, it's great. And it came out well. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, there's a whole lot that goes into it.
Strut your mutt. You know? I love that name.
I went to that too. I flyered that. Like, and that's what you got to do. Like, it's so much more than just the show itself. It's also, like, half of it is putting a show together. The other half is promoting it, really. It's huge.
No, it's like we've always talked about. You can be the best thing in the world, but if no one knows about it, who are you?
What exactly.
Are you can have a great club, great food, but if no one knows how to get there.
Or if no one knows where to park.
You're unemployed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's why restaurants have such a high turnover. I think most cities are oversaturated with bad restaurants.
Yes.
And food's so expensive anyways. If you're an upstart restaurant, you're going to fail 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Well, it's really hard, you know, because you have to get people there. People have to trust that the food's good, and you have to get a good price. And it's hard to compete with food pricing with, like, you know, like McDonald's, Wendy's. They can afford a dollar menu because of how much money they make. You know what I mean? But like an average restaurant, like, they, you know, like a locally owned restaurant, like an entree could cost up to like $14. I've seen that.
And
you know,
Americans hate good food.
Yeah,
like more preservatives, more artificial color, the better.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Or like weird bland paste where, like, it tastes healthy because it tastes terrible. You know what I mean? Like,
stay away from my hummus.
Exactly. Stay away from my hummus. So true. Like it has to either be really terrible food or it has to be like the worst food possible for you.
My mom eats sprouted bread.
Really? Like Ezekiel or?
I don't know, but it's a living piece of bread.
Oh, wow.
It's disgusting. I was that kid growing up where no one would trade their food with me. Like, I used to literally get rice cakes in my food.
Pitas. Lots of pitas.
Hummus.
Well, I've got this jar of gefilte fish. I've got pita bread. I've got some flan. I'll trade you all that for your fruit roll-up.
Yeah, that's about how it was. Like, I'd get, like, chicken breast on, like, whole wheat bread, but it wasn't whole wheat. It was, like, 10-grain bread.
Yeah.
No mayonnaise. Yeah. Like, a little brown mustard. Like, what 8-year-old wants,
like,
to eat brown?
Dijon. Can you pass the Grey Poupon? You're, like, the little kid in the back.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was horrible. And then you get to watch all the kids eating Rice Krispie treats and Snicker bars. The kid that would have the Coca-Cola in his bag.
Oh, yeah.
Or the bologna sandwich on Wonder Bread.
Oh, wow.
You know, the good stuff.
Man, now you're making me hungry. PB&J. Oh,
yeah.
I love a good PB&J.
Yeah. You never found those PB&J.
No. What was the bet? It was for Manti Te'o? Oh, the Manti Te'o bet. Yeah, I was supposed to eat a canned peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, because you're way off on that.
Yeah, I was way off.
Speaking of being way off. Next time we're in studio, I want to play audio of you being a dating advice guy.
Okay.
I have concerns about you offering advice on dating.
When was this?
Aren't you doing something on the Eagle?
Kind of. Like, we'll talk about it.
Because I can pull it up and play it if you want. Yeah.
Let me think about that.
No, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Well, no, let me think about it. Cause, hold on. Because that's a segment that we do. Like, they have me call in from time to time. Like, they don't know that's me. Does that make sense? Like, I was playing a character.
Oh, you're a stunt boy.
Yeah, yeah. They need bits, so I just give them bits.
Even worse.
I give them bits. If they need bits, I'll give them a bit. I'll admit to that. I'll admit to that. I'm an entertainer. It's my job.
Oh, that's such a loose term.
Entertainer is the perfect term, I think, because I'm out there. I'm just trying to entertain people, either through my promotions, through my comedy, through my books.
When are you going to start doing it on this podcast?
I walked right into that one.
Yeah, I'll be here all day.
So, did you watch the Utes game?
I did. I tried to.
Yeah, so tell me what happened.
Well, I was one of the few people that actually has seen them play for the last 4 years, every game at home at least. And they weren't a top three team. Their offense has never been a top 10 team. So I knew they were going to lose. Yeah. Like USC
is a good program.
Is the greatest program when they got their swag. There's no one that can do it better because of their uniforms.
Yeah.
Like, they're killers.
No, that uniform's real. Like, that color scheme, that was the same color scheme as Jesuit, our rivals. Like, mm-hmm. It's winner's colors. It's McDonald's colors. Like, it's winner's colors.
And they don't change it. They're not Oregoning it up. They're not Utahing it up with all their stupid new uniforms. I think the Utes have a great defense. I think they have great special teams. But their quarterback is not good. He's never been good.
He gets shaken.
And he's just not an intelligent guy. Yeah. He's a 6'7" jock.
So do you think our problems solely lie with quarterback? Like, is that the issue? Is Travis Wilson the issue? Like, if we replace Travis Wilson, would we be a top 10 team, or do we need more weapons at wide receiver or what? What do you think?
No, I think when they lost their tight ends, that was a major problem because their tight end was very good. I can't even pronounce the guy's name. It's like a 22-letter name.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbols.
Which is beautiful. Yeah. But no, Travis Wilson.
It's just beautiful. It's beautiful that you have that name. There's nothing wrong with you having that name.
I just can't pronounce it. I just think Travis Wilson's not a Pac-12 quarterback. Yeah. I don't think he's a Mountain West. I don't think he should be playing football.
Really?
He should work at a garbage company or something.
That's awesome.
He should move to a different country.
Do you consider yourself a Utes fan? Or is it complicated because of your job? You're not allowed to.
I thought about this a lot last night.
Yeah.
Because I was starting to get emotional at how badly they were playing.
Yeah.
And like I did with baseball and football, I don't like a team. I've decided I'm no longer a fan of the Utes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
fair. It genesised at the Fox Sports game for me. That was kind of the nail in the coffin. And then continually watching a guy screw up his job over and over and over. And I know he's a young guy, but they have no depth to replace him.
Mm-mm.
The U doesn't care about quarterbacks. They care about winning defensively. And that's a great thing, but I don't have to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you think they should not emphasize recruiting locally as much and maybe try to step their game up out, try to compete, coast to coast?
Well, see, it's the problem. Most of their recruiting comes from California and Texas.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the black guys come from.
Yeah. A lot of the brothers come out of that Southern California area,
Texas.
Too. Yeah.
And then they can get the B-plus Islander kids from Utah. But all the great, outside of Star Lotu Lelele, the best guys go to USC or they go to USC. That's where they go.
Yeah. Well, everyone wants to go to USC.
Yeah. And Stanford, I think, gets a couple of them, too. But Utah doesn't, they've had 9 offensive coordinators in 9 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 years.
And they had some good ones. They had Norm Chow. Mm-hmm. They had the young brother, Garrett, what was his name?
Black guy?
Yeah, the young brother.
Johnson. Wasn't good.
No, yeah,
he
they had hurt. Johnson. They had, Norm Chow. Yeah, they had a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you have that much turnover, you're not going to get the great players, which is fine. They got Britton Covey, but he's going to leave for an LDS mission. He's, good for him, but that's dumb.
That's tough. Yeah. Do you think that layout? What do you think? Because I've heard the advantages of doing it and not doing it. Like, while they get 2 more years to train, rest up, get a little smarter, but then that's 2 years of rust too. What do you think?
And not being hit. And because doesn't your bones calcify as a fighter and a football player to be able to absorb those hits? You lose that shielding of your muscles.
I played tackle football a couple
and
times
rugby.
After playing rugby, when I chose to leave the game of rugby. And I stopped playing completely. My body changed.
Yeah.
It did. It did. Like, when I played tackle football, I couldn't lay hits as hard as I used to. I couldn't, because, like, I used to crack, like, I used to throw heat, man. Like, I would come hard. I would come fast. That was a big reason I was very successful, was my defensive playmaking ability. And I could feel the rust. Like, the hits hurt more than they should have, you know?
No, there's soft. Something that there's a chemical that goes between your joints,
yeah,
and lines your tendons so that you're, because your body's being taught to defend itself.
Yeah, it responds to it.
Be violent.
Yeah.
And so we have that chemical in our DNA that allows us to have like a shield.
I believe that. Yeah.
And so when you see guys that take 18 months off for an Achilles or an ACL, that's why they can never come back, because
they come back soft, like they atrophied.
And they never get that back.
Yeah.
Because I think that chemical, once it injects itself and it doesn't stay hardened, it retracts, and I don't think it reproduces properly.
Well, yeah, you got to hit every day to stay in hitting shape, you know? Like, Banks is always trying to get me to come out and play ball again, and it's like, it's been 10 years, man. Like, I don't think I can play anywhere near the level I played to become a nationally ranked player. Like, I don't think I can do that, like, at all.
No, you're too old.
Yeah, I'm way too old. It's been 10 years. Like, it's... And, like, I quit when I was 19, turning 20, because it was already, like, too brutal to the body. I already broke my nose a bunch of times, busted up my thumbs, separated my shoulders, you know? Like I had to stop, you know? I had, like, two major injuries in 5 years, and it's like, that adds up.
Oh, sure it does. So I don't think you should go on a mission. If you're an NFL caliber player, which he probably is, you know, he's probably one of those dynamic white kids. But even watching him last night in the last couple games, when he gets tackled, he gets tackled, because he's 5'8", 150 pounds.
He's a little guy.
I would suplex him.
Like, yeah.
That's how I would tackle him. Just suplex city, bitch.
Just lay him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he from a super famous LDS family?
I believe so, like, yeah. The Covey Center.
Stephen A. Covey is like his father or something?
I know he has. I'm familiar that he has ties. I don't know exactly. Like, I don't know the personal history of a lot of people.
Okay, his grandfather authored 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Ah.
So he doesn't need the money.
No.
He's a very wealthy family.
Well, I'm sure he just wants to play football. You know, it's fun.
But being from such an esteemed LDS family, he probably has a tremendous pressure from the church.
Yeah, he has to. He's
a golden child.
Yeah.
He's from that elite bloodline.
Golden handcuff.
Yeah, that Illuminati stuff.
You believe in that, in the Illuminati and all that?
I sure want to.
Yeah, I want to believe in it.
I just think people are stupid. That's the only thing that doesn't convince me.
Oh, my God. I went to a Walmart the other day, and I was just like, I weep for humanity. I weep for humanity every time I go in there, because then I realize, like, this is, like, if there's any kind of New World Order agenda, I feel like it's to turn the world into Walmart. Just a collection of dumb people buying a bunch of stuff they don't need or that's bad for them.
Oh, it's much better to have a citizenry crippled and uneducated and unhealthy, because they can't fight back.
Yep.
They can't defend themselves.
We can't do anything. I mean, like, if we revolted, the banks would just turn off our accounts. Cell phones would just stop working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's education. Like, people don't know anything now. Like, people are graduating not knowing how to read.
Don't make fun of me, bud.
I'm sorry, man. There's a reason you're in radio.
No, I'm not in radio either.
Oh, man.
Don't lie to me.
What do you think about Lamar Odom? What do you think about that whole situation? He spent $75,000 in a weekend. He ate T-bone steaks and fried chicken. I guess he shot up, snorted up, banged it out, and then just, like, did he OD? Like, they never really said what happened. I think he OD'd. Like, is that what happened?
I don't think the toxicology has been released yet, so you can't make that declaration. The only thing I heard is he was taking liquid Viagra and taking way too much of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're a 6'10" athlete, like, and you're coked up or drunk, and he was a crackhead for a long time.
Yeah. He's got a lot of problems.
He's 34 years old. His dad was murdered, right? His mom died of cancer.
He lost
a kid to infancy death syndrome or whatever.
SIDS. Yeah, sudden infant death syndrome. Yeah, and then his career, you know, is really kind of tanked professionally playing basketball.
Oh, he should have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right? Easily. Yeah. He still could be, maybe, but, like, with all this.
He just had a stroke, dude.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, he's still, like, with what he's accomplished. You don't think so? Uh-huh. He's got, what, 2 rings?
Yeah.
6th man of the year. You don't think he could get in the Hall of Fame with
that? No.
Really?
No, Hall of Fame's for starters.
The number, yeah. Right?
Hall of Fames for the Michael Jordans and the John Stocktons, and I don't Larry even think Bird. Allen Iverson will become be a Hall
really?
Of Fame. Yeah, he didn't win enough.
Yeah, that's a tough call. Would Iverson go to the? I don't know. That's a good question. But yeah, but what do you think about like the media's response and like the fact that like what's her name, Khloe? I don't really follow him. Khloe Kardashian.
You
she
don't
brought
follow
like
the Kardashians.
I really
She's
don't. Like
liar.
I just no. I really don't. I gather all of my information from Khloe the Kardashians from like the magazines at the at the checkout aisle of Smith's. That's the entire scope of my information about them is whatever those gossip rags are saying. Because it'll take me like 5 minutes to read like the whole magazine. You know, while I'm waiting in line. So yeah, I don't know. The fact that they showed up with cameras.
Patrick?
Yeah, I hear you.
Johnny says he's not a follower of the Kardashians. Do you believe him?
He's not a follower of the Kardashians?
Yeah, he's telling me that he doesn't watch the show. He's not involved.
I'm not that into it.
Well, I mean, if you're not a follower of the Kardashians, then you never say you're not a follower of the Kardashians. You're just not a follower. So you already know too much. It's kind of like the... It's kind of like the people who are like anti-vegan, and all they do is talk about being anti-vegan.
See, I
Ooh,
like
that's
thinking.
A good point. Yeah. That's fair enough. You maybe I think you have convinced me that I might be a follower just by you saying that. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're just talking about the Lamar Odom situation. What do you think about it, man?
Oh man, that's weird. That's weird. You know what is like. Strange about it is that, you know, everybody has, I think, pretty genuine, like, they wanted him to do better, you know, regardless of, like, the horrible situation, like, he was in. But, like, take if you changed it to Lamar Odom got caught in a strip club with a bunch of boner pills to, like, Steve Kerr got caught in a strip club. That's all we'd be talking about. Like, he was where, but now we're like, Lamar Odom, yeah, I hope he gets better. There's like some weird reverse racism going on there, but that is sad. He seems to be doing better, right?
I think he just had a couple of chest surgeries this past week, so I don't know if he's doing better.
I know his body's like his kidneys are shut down or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like when you don't get oxygen to your brain for a couple of minutes, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but it needs... Yeah, you can't go a second without oxygen, really.
However, it might be the best thing for the Kardashian show is like having this stroked-out 6'10" giant who can't say anything or do anything, and he's just kind of this dumb guy on the couch. Like, yeah, that could be interesting to watch.
I described two out of the three Kardashians already, 6'3" dumb people.
Wow, I'm making fun of stroke victims now. Good, I've gone to an all-new form.
Yeah, let's take it back a little notch here. We got off into the weeds.
Well, we've been doing that here.
Are you guys bummed out that Utah lost yesterday? Has that been a big point of sadness?
Well, yeah, we were just talking about it a little bit. Sasha said that he's no longer a fan of the Utes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bummer. Like, we can't have nice things. We got all the way to number three feeling good about ourselves, and then we just dropped the tray of food like on our way to the kitchen.
do you think we got too cocky?
I don't know what happened. Like, if it would have been that the Utes were favored by like 8 and everyone was like they're on upset alert, I would say yeah, they got cocky. But they had all week for everybody to sort of get a motivation, and they just totally fell apart. It was one of those games where you stop, you turn your text messages off halfway through the fourth quarter.
The Twitter timeline went silent in Salt Lake City. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I follow a few feeds and there was nothing. It was like, you know, it's bad when they're thanking the fans. Thanks for helping out, everybody. Thanks for making the trip. Like, oh, that's bad.
Have you been to a USC or UCLA game yet?
I've been to a USC game a long time ago, and then I was at the youth game when USC came to Salt Lake last year.
But you haven't
been to the Coliseum in a long time.
Why didn't you go for this game?
No, I'm sorry. I went to a USC game a couple of years ago when they played Stanford. and they won. Stanford won in overtime. And, oh, you know, there's like Stanford has like a cardinal. It looks like a pope, basically.
Yeah.
And he threw a hot dog at us. I don't know if like it was like a friendly toss or he was angry. But, yeah, you don't see a guy like in a headdress throw food like that.
I'd sure like to, though.
I'll have to look for that. Yeah, the Stanford Cardinal. He threw like a half-eaten hot dog at us leaving, me and my brother. Yeah, he was in the right. They won. I think if you win, you can throw one article of food at the opposing fan. If you win.
I like that idea, sir.
Yeah, you would like throwing wieners, Sasha.
Yeah.
What would you throw, Patrick?
Well, let's see. You know what I would throw, and it wouldn't be food, but it would be food-related, is you know how the hot dog comes in like that kind of styrofoamy sort of like wrapper and it balls up really good?
Yeah.
That's good because you could put some some mustard on that. You could throw it hard at someone.
You're a mean guy.
Well, I mean, it would be, you can make it like round and hard enough that you could, like, you know, aim it. But it wouldn't hurt if it hit someone, you know? That'd be my first thought. Because you want to throw the popcorn bag, the little plastic thing, that's not going to make it. That's too gross. And it's probably going to hit, like, the person you're sitting next to anyway, who's already on your side. So.
What would you throw, Johnny?
I don't know. I'd probably chuck, like, I'd probably try to frisbee a Cracker Jack box. I could probably get pretty good. Maybe get the corner, get in someone's eye.
That would hurt.
Yeah.
I'd got to go to snow cones.
Snow cones just drip down their back. It's all sticky. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
You could start a whole thing of, like, best things to throw at a stadium. Because you've got limited items, and, like, you're standing there, you're, like, elevated. You want to throw stuff. Like, did you ever go to a game as a kid and you get bored and you start making paper airplanes out of the program pages? And you start trying to throw it down the aisle? Oh, man. Yeah, I think you could try a whole category of things to potentially throw at a sports stadium.
I think the battery is always held up. Like, they do that a lot in Europe. Yeah. They throw batteries at the refs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is quite dangerous.
Like a double A or?
No, they do the C's and D's.
No, oh, really?
No, the watch battery.
The watch battery.
They're not going to hurt anybody, but they're really going to be confused.
Is this supposed to tell me what time it is? Like, what is it? That's awesome.
So my watch broken. My fireman need a battery. A D battery could do some damage.
So one of the great things about getting to know Pat is he texts me a lot of very funny observations about wannabe broadcasters.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts, without giving names, of people aspiring to make it in broadcast journalism?
Well, I would say, I mean, I have no problem with anybody aspiring to be anything, but I would say when you're in that aspiring stage, you often, 9 times out of 10, you always look like kind of like a jerk, you know, when you're in the aspiring stage. So, like, if I'm like the Pope and I'm like, hey, I'm the Pope, man, carry me to my bed, you're like, we got to do it. He's the Pope. But if I was like, I want to be the Pope one day, carry me to my bed, my friends would beat me up within 30 seconds, you know? So when you're, like, in aspiring stage and you, like, kind of already call yourself the title, that's a hard one, I think. Don't you think? Isn't that, like, hard to believe anybody?
I think it's very concerning if you're in that aspiring stage to be tweeting and Instagramming about how you're going to make it to a destination.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. I see what you're saying.
If I were a producer or someone hiring for said company and you're going through timelines of your app mentions and there's all these people, I'm going to make it to CBS. I'm going to make it to PBS. And I would never hire that person.
Yeah, I don't put my goals out there, my dreams, for that exact reason. Like, it sounds like, I don't know, childish. Like, you should just put your head down, put in the work, get it done. Don't, like, put it out in the universe. Like, tell the universe, oh, I want to be this or that. Like, it just doesn't work.
That's hard. It's hard to kind of want to do something without looking like a jerk, you know, because then we all got, like, goals and stuff, but, you know, no one wants to hear about it. no one really wants to listen to your goals, but you still have them. So it's like kind of like if I just graduated film school and I was like, Oscars, here we come.
You know?
Yeah. There's a few steps in between.
Right, like being humble and learning your craft and working in the field.
Yeah.
And that is the least fun part of it. So that is hard to sort of stomach, I would say.
But you just observe. You casually observe these people on Twitter, but you don't spank them on Twitter. Why is that?
No, I never go after people online because it's so fruitless, don't you think?
No, I really think you should do this.
Sasha, you're so
mean
evil.
Patrick is funny, Patrick.
I'm really better in text behind people's backs. That's really my genre.
That's your medium. That's your format.
Yeah, that'll be my comedy special. It'll be like stuff I said behind your back. It'll just be like an empty stage and me talking.
So since we've last talked to you on this podcast/radio show, you've moved to LA, and it's been 7, 8, 9, 10 months now.
A while.
How's it going in LA?
You know, people like say LA is like really dirty and tough and crowded, and you know, they're right. It's good. It has. It's probably equal parts. Been a good experience, and equal parts been a really tough experience to it. It's very different. If you think about it, just moving anywhere is pretty hard. So, you know, moving somewhere to do stand-up or work in any sort of entertainment field, it's big. It's hard. So that's been a struggle, but it has been fun in a lot of ways. Pretty eye-opening. I think I'm a better stand-up comic than I was a year ago.
How so?
Well, I think I've gotten on stage a tremendous amount more than I ever did in Salt Lake. There's just more opportunities.
Yeah, there's comedy every night.
There's comedy every night. That being said, there's not good comedy every night, so you really sort of get some thick skin going up to the small crowds, going up to comics only. And then the small shows, I do get, you know, seem to be tough in the sense because it's hard to draw a crowd in L.A. So you get a non-comic crowd, you're like, oh, I gotta knock this out of the park, or I can't waste a single set here, because you want to get the most out of it but it has been going good. It's hard. There's a lot of folks getting on stage, and there's a lot of folks who are super good, so it's been tough, but it has been good.
Yeah, I imagine that's very difficult because, I mean, everyone who moves to LA, you know, they don't go there for the entertainment. They go there because they want to be a part of the entertainment. So it must be difficult to get crowds and to get people who aren't there, you know, who are there just for comedy, like just to watch it. Like, I bet that's pretty rare now.
Yeah, there's so many entertainment options in LA, you know, with sports, with shows, with movies, that, you know, stand-up comedy is going to be a distant, you know, third or fourth on everybody's list of kind of what to do on a weekend or weekday night. Or is, you know, smaller market like Salt Lake, I mean, there was some really seriously fun sold-out shows Thursday through Sunday a lot of times. So it's different. It's a different sort of way of life.
Have you thought about going into television or radio, or are you strictly just wanting to focus on comedy?
I think when I moved here, I was strictly stand-up to it. I think having been here a while, it's pretty important or helpful to sort of make yourself versatile, be able to do more than one thing. So I've always liked radio and podcasting and stuff, so I think that's something to consider that I think I would like to it. It's really weird, though. Like, I did the Burbank Comedy Festival. And I did really good, and I got a manager out of it. And I was like, oh, this is great. Now I have a manager. And then cut to me going to about 3, like, crappy commercial auditions and totally bombing.
You have those on audio.
By the way, totally bombing in front of someone 7 to 10 years younger than me with a job.
Ooh.
I'm like, well, how did you get this job? I don't even want to audition. I just want to talk to you about employment.
Can we turn this audition into an interview where I can help you go get coffee? I can.
That's right. I give them my my headshots, my LinkedIn link.
Yeah, I'm also good with Excel. I can act. I can do dramatic. I can do Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoints.
That's right. I don't act. I don't do improv. I don't work well with kids. I can answer phones. My audition. It was pretty weird. I was telling my brother, he sent me on this audition, and I punch in the address. I go to this little hole in the wall building. I was like, oh, here it is. I'll be in and out of here real quick. I open the door, and there's about 50 people in there all auditioning for different things. There's about 12 different rooms in there. So one of them was like for like some fitness thing. So there's like dudes walking around that are like super built in gym shorts and like chicks in yoga pants and sports bras, like looking all nervous. And I was like, I don't belong here. And then there was another room was for like kids. So all these little kids are running around. By the way, kids, like these kids have more confidence in themselves than I ever did in my 30s. So I was like, what is this? It was really weird, really a weird sort of fish out of water sort of thing. But you go in there, you do your thing, and then you leave, and then you go to Wendy's, and I went home.
What were you auditioning for?
This is the ones I get sent out for auditions. Hispanic dad. So, yeah, two strikes against me already in that department. So... yeah, it sends me, like, first I noticed, like, Hispanic dad, like, I fit the age profile. And then I keep reading, and all the dads I go out for are, they call them, like, clueless and aloof dads. So, yeah, I'm already, you send me this sort of type of dad is what I've gone out for.
What part of Los Angeles do you live in?
I live in Glendale. Part of town I live in.
Oof. You like living in L.A. with that much traffic and nonsense?
Traffic is hard. Traffic is really the hardest part because you can't really go anywhere without a lot of planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no mass transportation, really. Like, they got the bus system and train, but it's so far away. It's not like New York.
They're not feasible, it seems, at all. I've never once taken it or actually even heard of anybody taking the bus. I think it's like a novelty. Like, you see the bus and you're like, hey, look at that.
Yeah, where's that going?
Yeah, it's like, oh, look at that. That's cute.
Does Glendale have the toilet for taps policy where they used recycled toilet sewage water for sprinkler systems?
I don't know that.
I know LA County does.
Yeah, you need to learn more about your community, bro. Yeah. You need to start going to those town hall meetings.
I know.
Do you have long walks on the beach by yourself?
No, I don't live anywhere near the beach, so I'm pretty far away from that. But I have long, long walks in between, what would you call it, Jiffy Lubes. This is basically my atmosphere there. It's pretty nice. I don't mind Glendale at all. It's okay.
What rooms are you working right now?
The one I get the most spots at is Flappers in Burbank. Has been really good to me. Been all over the place. Flappers the most. The Laugh Factory I've been up at a couple of times. The Ha Ha Cafe. That's in North Hollywood. That's a rough one. tonight I'm at the Westside Comedy Theater. I just got that. I don't know how that's going to go. And then I just got into the Seattle Comedy Festival next month.
Oh, really?
I just got in. Yeah.
So dude, congrats, man.
That'll be a different sort of thing. I've never been.
Have you started kind of tailoring your material for like the LA crowds, or do you still kind of write from your own perspective? How's that going?
It's still. I like to think it's still me in my own perspective. It's definitely changed because my setting is different. So there's some LA jokes in there and stuff like that. But I would say a lot of stuff that I would do in Salt Lake still does pretty well here. You know. So that's good. It's still a lot of jokes about me, my dad, my family members, things like that, me living in L.A., So, yeah, it's definitely changed, but it's still comedy. It's still me writing, and it's still coming along. It's a work in progress.
Have you been doing any Latino comedy, like specifically to the Latino audience, or are you still just doing the comedy crowd in general?
I've been at the Pasadena Ice House a good number of times this last month, and it gets a pretty predominant Latino crowd, and I got to say, like, they're the best. They come to laugh. Pasadena's a nice, like, family, quaint town, too. So they want to have fun. They're good crowds there.
Is it all in English, or are you introducing Spanish or anything?
Well, I don't speak Spanish. Like, the extent of my Spanish I learned growing up was all, like, how to curse.
Nice.
You know? So, yeah, I don't speak Spanish.
Can you give me an example?
How to curse in Spanish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can give you an example.
Like chinga tu madre and that kind of stuff?
That's a good one.
Yeah?
That's a good one. If you go to school and you grew up in the Southwest, you learn sort of good English Spanish. So, if you want to learn how to, like, fit in, if you just learn the term no mames, that's a Spanish sort of curse phrase, You can use it in a lot of different ways. So, like, if you know Spanish, like, literally it translates to don't suck. So, but it's sort of, imagine if I said, come on, but it was vulgar. That's what no mames is. So if you can use it, like you're angry, like your car ran out of gas, you're like, no mames, be mad. Or you can use it like surprise and be like, oh, we're late. You're like, oh, no mames. So you can use it in a lot of different ways. And you can get through 3 or 4 years of high school.
Yeah, I took Spanish for a long time in high school, and I completely failed. Like, I failed my test. We had to, like, go and do a presentation, like, all in Spanish. And I was a weird kid. Like, I did it all on drug culture. It was like, yo vendo coca en el baño, mi fumar marijuana en el biblioteca. Like, just the dumbest shit in the world.
Yeah, that's why he's failing. You see? That's all the teachers think. Like, that's why he's failing.
I can see why he failed, but you probably made $50.
So let me get a dime bag off.
You know, all that kind of crap. It was beautiful.
Yeah. You had kids meet you in the bathroom like, that was a good speech,
man. Yeah. Vivo en el baño. After classo. Vivo.
Yeah. I'm going to do this or what?
Do you think it would be important for your career to learn Spanish?
I think it would be important for just me as a person to learn Spanish. I think that'd be, like, really good.
So what's the delay?
I don't know. I think the only way I would learn Spanish is if I lived in a Spanish-only speaking place for months to a year.
LA. Yeah.
If I were to move 7 to 8 miles away.
In either direction.
Yeah, just shop at that other grocery store, the scary one.
I just follow where the sun sets. I think I'll find a place. You know, if I think I lived in Mexico for 6 months, I think I'd learn it pretty quick.
Have you been to Mexico since you moved out to L.A.? Or gone up to Northern California or anything?
I've been to Mexico, but not since, not in a handful of years. But, yeah, that would be an experience.
How's the dating scene in L.A.?
Oh, let me tell you, I stink. I always would complain about Tinder in Salt Lake and be like, oh, man, all these girls have kids, or, you know, it's, like, hard to find girls. Here, you find a lot of girls, and they're all angry. they're already mad at me. I like when you, like, go on a Tinder profile and the woman lists all the things she doesn't like. Like, do you like anything? They're already mad. I'm not dating anyone. I go on Tinder and I try and meet people. That's about as far as I get.
Yeah, I've been thinking about going into the world of online dating because
it's kind of fun.
I don't go to bars or anything, and I'm lonely. I'm a lonely boy. But the idea of putting your face up on a computer screen and then a short bio and then having to have paragraph conversations with people just sounds revolting to everything about me.
Well, yeah, see, I feel the same way about social media too. Like, I don't like the idea of like you could put your face up there and then all these people judge you.
Yeah.
They just judge you. And that's tough. Like, I don't know.
But, like, what if your sister or friends see that you're on Plenty of Fish? Because if I saw my friends on Plenty of Fish, I would judge them. Like, I might troll them, catfish them, not talk to them ever again.
Would you try to, like, catfish them and get a picture of their penis? Is that what you're saying?
God, see, that's a...
That'll happen to you. Watch. Yeah. Patrick Amiris is going to get you.
Well, he already has photos.
I'll wait till like, the fourth or fifth message.
Really sell it.
I play it close to the vest until four messages in. Yeah, I'm not like bitter Tinder guy. I still like it. It's kind of like a fun game. But I don't do well on it, you know. But I stay on it. I'll look at the pictures and stuff.
Have you done Craigslist or Plenty of Fish or anything like that?
No, I never have. I did, like, a long time ago. Remember there was eHarmony? I did that a long time ago.
Oh, that's fantastic.
eHarmony works. A lot of people in media use eHarmony. Like, a lot of people I've worked with, they tend to use eHarmony to find their mates.
See, I think if I were going to do it, you'd have to pay because it brings a more serious type woman or man or other.
Committed.
I remember that. Yeah.
The STD rate's probably lower.
Dude, it was an old man, like, in the commercial. It was like, you know, like, had the magic formula.
He sold you, huh? That really sold you, though. You were watching football and you saw that...
The old man. He did it. You know, you like, anytime you put an old man, like, you have some, I don't know, maybe you have some notoriety.
Yeah.
Yeah, this site's for real. This old man's going to help me out.
And what happened?
Oh, nothing.
He gave him their $39.99 like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have just, like, as soon as you pay the $20 or whatever, it should just take you behind the paywall, and it just was like, all these people gave up too, you know? And you just look at all their profiles. You're like, all right.
Do you worry about not having a wife or girlfriend as you get older? Because it's like, I'm going to be 36 this summer, and it's like...
Sometimes.
Huh?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I do. Like, I've been doing... this bit on stage where, like, remember when you turned 30 and you were single and everybody was like, all right, good for you. You're comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
And, like, at some point you're like, when does this stop being cute? when are they like, okay, what's up? What's wrong with this guy? Yeah, I think about it sometimes. You can't help but not to.
And then it's like, my thing is, well, do I want to date a 40-year-old woman? Like, she's too mature, too set in her ways. Like, she's been through too much. But then when I was at the U, I quickly learned I don't want to be around 21-year-olds either or 24-year-olds because I can't deal with the nervous breakdowns and
you can't deal the with learning
of
life.
A 20-something.
Yeah. Yeah, like growing into your life. I realized that too when I was there. I'm like, it was hard talking to girls. Like some of them I'm just like, God, they're so young. You have no clue. You have no clue.
It is pretty hard. You learn how shallow you are too. Online.
I'm tremendously shallow. Like, that's why I know Pioneer Park's always there. Like,
I've gone through profiles and I'll read the profile descriptions, and if like I don't like something, I'm like instantly not into them. They're like, no, I mean like girls are like, you know, whatever, have like strong feelings about milk or something. I'm like, nope, I'm out. Religion, I'm out. And then, like, I'll see a profile of a girl, like, in yoga pants and a tank top, and they'll say, like, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll be like, well, every religion deserves a chance. And I'm in. And I'm in. I've learned how shallow I am.
So if a woman sends you nude photos, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Like, do you instantly slut shame them or do you endorse their freedom?
I endorse it.
Me too.
I endorse it. I don't see why you...
Do you save him on the phone? Because I would never save him, mostly because I had a kid and I didn't want him to, like...
I have zero experience with this. I started dating my girl before cell phones had the ability to do
this. And she doesn't send you photos?
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No photos?
I see her every day, you know? I don't need a photo. Yeah.
No, I don't... I endorse it. I don't, like, think they're less of people or anything.
Would you send nude photos of yourself to a woman?
You know, I thought of that. I don't think I could. Because, like, for a guy, our nudity isn't, like, a good feature.
It doesn't lend itself to the visual medium. Like, it's always more impressive in person and less like in photo.
You need a set director. Like, you need lighting and you need angles.
Yeah, you got to get a travel size deodorant and a kid's toothbrush to kind of. Yeah.
You need to put a dime for scale.
That's where the 5K cameras come in.
It's the same logic. While there's way more kind of like strip clubs for guys than there is for like females. You know, mm-hmm. There's only like 1 to 50 male strip clubs for women than there is to men, because they're just not into nudity the way we are.
Shame on them.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah, I don't think I could send one of myself, because it's just, I don't think it would impress anybody.
You think it might ruin your chances?
Yeah, it will hurt my chances.
What's next with your career in comedy?
Well, not this thing tonight. It should be a new, fun experience. It's here on the west side of town. And then Seattle. That's sort of the two big ones coming up. Sort of like I'm waiting to hear back from the Laugh Factory. I got past like their stage one of sort of their farm system. So I'm going to try and get through the next level. But that's about it. I'm going to keep plugging away.
I like that, sir.
That's fantastic, man. Congrats.
You going to come back to Salt Lake at all anytime soon? Or?
I need to. I need to visit soon.
You do?
Yeah, I miss it. You really miss Salt Lake when, you, when you're away and you don't know when you're coming back, per se. You kind of miss the place.
Do you like living in L.A. over Salt Lake?
Right now, no. I always liked Salt Lake.
So why'd you move?
Yeah, it's all very manageable. I had a lot of friends. And I just all around good town. It's hard to find an argument against Salt Lake. And L.A. is just, it's just so big.
Yeah.
Different lifestyle. So it takes some getting used to.
Do you think about moving back or moving to a different place?
Well, my goal was to take it 1 year at a time in L.A. And, my lease and my place I live ends in March. So, all right, I got to make it to March and then reassess from there to it. So that's the time frame I'm working with to it. Some days I'm like, yeah, this is the place to be. And some days I'm like, all right, what if I move back? what if I just put my car, what if I just filled up the car and started driving? So, I got to make it to March and then I'll reassess. So that's doable. I can do that.
Well, don't be a stranger to us here at OUR. Follow him at Patrick In My Head on Twitter, P. Rammy on Instagram. Where are you on Facebook, sir?
Just my name, Patrick Ramirez. You can find me.
And please, for the love of everything that's beautiful, can you start shaming these people on Twitter? Your texts are too funny not to be shared by the cynical world.
Full on Desert Storm attack.
Yes. Yes. Even if you got to get a parody account, just let me know which it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The wheels are turning now.
Well, thanks, man. You're the best, and I continue my support towards you. I love you, man, and thanks for everything you do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. We got to do this again soon.
Definitely, man. It was great hearing from you, bro.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I love that guy.
Me too.
He's very funny.
He's great. He could talk all day. That was a good conversation.
I hope that phone wasn't too bad. Did you hear a lot of...
He was a little quiet at first. Then when you turned it up, it was better.
That's because there was a lot of feedback in it. I was I don't know what to do.
We'll see how it sounds.
Okay, here we go. Yawning mode. All right. Johnny McKeon, where can people find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff?
At Johnny McKeon, hashtag Johnny Promo with a P. You can find me at Johnny McKeon on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, but I don't add new people to Facebook, but if you follow me and you could see all the stuff I do, my profile is public, so it doesn't matter. I just don't want tons of friends. You can find me there.
So what he's saying is don't follow him.
No. I'm just saying if I don't add you on Facebook, don't take it personal. You can find me on air at mix1079fm.com Saturdays from 6 to 10 a.m. And that's and you can find me here at OU Radio.
Yes. What's going on with our OU Radio Facebook? It's embarrassingly bad. Do you have the passwords?
I thought we deleted it. Is it still up?
It got, I don't know, Dylan.
Who reactivated it?
I think Becca did for a little bit, but then when she left, it went away.
I was always opposed against having a Facebook like page because I don't think they work. Like,
I think they're stupid.
I think they're terrible. Like, I don't like pages. I don't like the structure or the function of it. And that's actually why I don't add people to my Facebook, because you have a 5,000 limit. And I don't want to hit my 5,000 limit and then have to start a like page. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't.
Sounds mean.
Yeah. It's awful, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I have to be very judicious. Like, I get a lot of people asking to follow me just, you know, from all the things I do. And I have to just be like, no.
Well, Mr. _ Bloom, I will follow back because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. Also, Earhole Media at Earhole Media.
Yeah. We've been... Got a great write-up by City Weekly for the Dirt Pod podcast.
Congrats, you guys. That was fantastic. You guys deserve it. Like, it's great. I love that show.
Jackson Banks has been taking his podcast to a whole new realm. Look for a new one dropping soon where he's at Pioneer Park.
I can't wait to hear that.
Keith Stubbs joined the network.
Yeah, Keith Stubbs. I think
Garth Brooks is coming out. Interview with Garth Brooks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he used to work for the Eagle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Tony Toscano. We've got some good podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go. you have no idea.
It's Sunday. Yeah, I get it.
We totally missed on Patrick's intro song, so I think we'll make it for our exit song.
That works for me. This is dedicated to Patrick Ramirez. Much love from All Ute Radio.